never leave Kevin. You are in lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. When I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. 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 That is who you in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?
Are you his today? I'm yours, Lord. Just say that I'm yours, Lord. Yes. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my God. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me. Mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him who waits. says to you, the Lord turn his face toward you. To you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you. Within you, he is with you, he is with you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you, in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you. bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Father God, I thank you, first of all, for the incredible, clear presence of your Holy Spirit flooding this parking lot this morning. Lord, I know that sounds strange to say, but you are not confined to a building or a temple or a home or a place. Lord, this parking lot is yours this morning. And I thank you for the power and presence of your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, the living rooms where people are listening and watching this morning is your temple. And I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in their homes this morning. Father God, I pray that you would continue to minister to your people today, that you would continue to touch us and encourage us. Lord, some of us have had rough weeks. Lord, they've been horrific in different ways. Lord, first of all, forgive us of our shortcomings. Forgive us for not trusting you the way perhaps we should have. And Lord, I pray that here now we would turn our hearts back to you, that our trust, our hope would be solely in you, that you would give us victory today, that you would encourage us today, that you would help us to stand firm and stand strong in you today, Father God. Lord, let us hear from your word. Let there be no wall, no hindrance between you and us this morning. Allow your word to go forth and penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our quest to be holy will never end. Today, we do come to the final segment of the law that we have been reviewing, which guides us down that path to holiness. Today we look at the 10th and final suggestion. Sorry, commandment. I meant commandment. You know, it's interesting. We like to kind of joke around about that a little bit. But truly, that idea seems to be one of the biggest issues we as believers have with Scripture. Now, we might not ever say it out loud. We might not ever verbalize it. But how often do we act like Scripture is a suggestion of the way that we're supposed to live? When truly, as born-again believers, as Christians, the Word of God is to be our very life. Not a suggestion, not even a good idea, but it is to be our guidebook for making decisions. It's to be our instructions for having a proper attitude. It is to be our map for correct actions. It is to be lived by us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Whether we're alone or with a friend or in a group of people. And it is to extend from generation to generation to generation. The book of Deuteronomy records the words of Moses' song. And at the end of his song, at the end of his message, we read some very particular words that he writes. Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting at verse 46. Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them
you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Even today, the words recorded for us in Scripture are to be our very life. Much like the song we sing quite often, you are the air I breathe. That you, of course, is referring to our God. He is the air I breathe. His words give air to our lungs. They give life to our souls. Reviewing these commandments as we have been walking this journey to rediscover the importance of the commandments is a necessary step to digging in deeper to who we're supposed to be in Him. See, it's all about growing. It's all about becoming more mature in our relationship with Christ. If COVID-19 has done nothing else for any of us, it should bring to light just how fragile and short life truly is. Things can change without warning, without thought, without any comprehension at all. How important is it for us to take our relationship with Christ seriously? Today's commandment can be seen as a tipping point, if you will, for commands 5 through 9. It can also be seen as the bookend that complements command number 1. What does that mean? Well, let's look at this. If the 10th commandment is broken, most likely one or more of the other commandments will be broken as well. It is the domino that triggers the fall in the whole setup of dominoes. While the first command is all about serving, worshiping, and treating God as we should, the 10th commandment is all about treating people as we should. Commandment number 1 and commandment number 10 summarize the 8 other commandments. Let's take a look at today's commandment. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. While this commandment lists off 6 very specific items belonging to our neighbors, the last statement makes it clear that we are simply not to covet anything that belongs to someone else. So first, let's take a look at this word, covet. What does it mean to covet? Well, the very simplest of statements would be to say it's wanting what someone else has. We would many times use words like jealousy or envy as part of that description. We're envious of something, or we're jealous of what someone has. But if we take a look closer, we learn that coveting is all about the desire of a person's heart. It's about the internal cravings of what does not belong to us, but what someone else possesses. When we talk about the internal desires of the heart, are we reminded that God looks on the heart when He looks at the true condition of man? While commands 5 through 9 for the most part deal with external actions, command number 10 takes it to that next level by dealing with our very desires. And the thing about this commandment is, there's no question how much it affects absolutely everyone, You know, many times when we think about coveting or we think about being jealous or envious, it's usually someone that's lower envying someone that's higher, whether that's in goods or possessions or fame or whatever. That's typically how we look at it. But that is truly not the case. Covetousness and that desire to have affects every single person, no matter who we are. In fact, going through this, I found it very interesting this week as I was getting things ready. There's a 20-year-old Disney movie that teaches us all about coveting. Talks about the idea that coveting affects everyone from the top on down. No matter how much we have or don't have, we still deal with coveting. We want what someone else has. Whether we're the poorest in the town or the wealthiest in the nation, we still have to deal with the spirit of coveting. The movie I was referring to just a moment ago, The Emperor's New Groove. The basic storyline of this movie is that the successful, maybe not very well liked, but the successful emperor desires to build a new home. That doesn't seem like a big deal, but the problem is that the most desirable location in the entire land already has a house built on it. Not only does it have a house built on it, but around that house is the village that many, many people call home. In this movie, the emperor simply doesn't care. He has his heart set on having the land that he longs to possess. He doesn't care that it belongs to someone else. So he decrees that the land will be his, and that the village and all of its people are going to have to leave with no compensation, nothing given to them for their trouble. They're just going to have to be out of there simply because he coveted that land. His heart wanted it for his own good, for himself. Nothing, he's the emperor, nothing could be done to stop him from acquiring that land. I'm not going to talk about the rest of the movie. Watch it for yourself. It's fun. But as the movie goes on, the emperor does indeed have a change of heart. And by the end of the movie, he chooses not to pursue the land that he so desired. Now, this movie does not make any reference to God. It doesn't make any reference to redemption. But that's exactly what's portrayed in this storyline. Through it all, there's one villager who cared enough to stand by his side, who cared enough to show this emperor love, that at the end, the emperor recognized his own selfish heart, and he changed. He changed his desire, he changed his opinion. Perhaps what might be surprising to us is the fact that this movie is very similar to an Old Testament account in 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, we find Ahab, the king of Samaria, seeking something that was not his. In this case, he wanted the land belonging to his neighbor. And he wanted it so that he could plant a vegetable garden. The neighbor, however, did not want to give up his land. He didn't even want to sell it for a price. It was his family land. And he wanted to hold on to that land that had been passed down from generation to generation. He wanted to keep it for himself, not give it up, not sell it. So he rejected Ahab and Ahab's offer. Ahab decided to go home and talk it over with his wife. And she decided to take matters into her own hands. So she set up the neighbor, whose name, by the way, was Naboth. She set up the neighbor so that the king could indeed claim the land for himself. Let's read a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 21, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth the Jezreelite. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it's close to my palace. In exchange, I'll give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever it's worth." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers." So Ahab went home, sullen and angry because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers." He lay on his bed, sulking, and refused to eat. His wife, Jezebel, she came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" He answered her, "Because I said to Naboth the Jezreelite, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll give you another vineyard in its place.' But he said, 'I will not give you my vineyard.'" Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. I'll get your vineyard of Naboth for you." Unfortunately, in this case, if we were to keep on reading, we would find what took place, and that was the fact that Jezebel manipulated other people into killing Naboth. After Naboth was dead, King Ahab indeed claimed the land that he had coveted all along for himself. And then we find that the prophet Elijah enters the account, and God uses Elijah to tell the king very plainly what he did wrong and what was going to happen to him. He tells him all about the punishment he's going to receive because he allowed that covetous spirit to dwell in his heart and to claim something that did not belong to him. After Elijah described the punishment and the death that would come to both Ahab and his wife. And by the way, if you read it, it's a pretty graphic description of the punishment that he's going to receive because of what he did. After he is told about this punishment, Ahab repented. 1 Kings 21:27. When Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and fasted. He lay in sackcloth and went around meekly. God actually had mercy on Ahab because of Ahab's response to the situation. While the punishment was not lifted completely, it was changed in Ahab's favor. But all of this could simply and easily have been avoided if the king had not set his heart on something that was not his to begin with. Through this, did you notice something? This sin of coveting, it led to lying, it led to murder, it led to stealing. This is the domino effect I referred to earlier in breaking that 10th commandment. It's the same kind of thing we saw when King David faced Bathsheba. He desired her, and that led to adultery, which led to lying and deceiving and murder. All because his heart sought to have something that was not his to have. The domino effect of the 10th commandment. In the New Testament, Jesus himself warns us about about seeking the things of this world and where our heart is in relation to that. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Again, we find ourselves focused in on the condition of man's heart. What is it that the heart desires? Does it long for, does it seek out, does it desire the stuff we find here on this earth? Or is our heart set on, is our heart longing for the beautiful promise that is yet to come? If we keep our heart focused in on the Lord, if we keep our heart focused in on eternal life and what that is for us, we can avoid the trappings of coveting that which is not ours. Paul also shares with us, quite honestly, again, some pretty harsh words when he wrote his letter to the Ephesians. In fact, we might find this warning somewhat similar to the punishment that was spoken to Ahab in the Old Testament. No, they're not one and the same. They're not identical punishments. But it's the seriousness of the issue that we need to grasp. This is not something that is to be taken lightly. It is to be dealt with and dealt with justly. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God." Not Pastor Kurt's words, that's scripture. That greedy part that's being talked about in this text, those are who are greedy for what does not belong to them, wanting more than what they have or what they've been given. In essence, it's dealing with coveting. And the last section of that text says, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Again, in this case, the greedy that are being talked about here are those wanting, desiring, seeking something that is not theirs. One other piece of scripture, one other text we are going to consider this morning in regards to coveting. James chapter 4, starting at verse 1. "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You have something, you want something, but you don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what it is that you want. Once again, we are reading text here that is written directly to the New Testament church. You and I, that's who this text is written to, us. We cannot have what we covet. As believers, we ought to know better than to deal with that covetous desire in our hearts. We're reminded that that coveting causes issue after issue after issue. James's, quite honestly, rhetorical questions here, he answers them pretty firmly and pretty directly. You cannot have the things you covet. Unfortunately, even in the church many times, man is willing to go to any extent to seek that which his heart desires, even if it means killing someone else. As much as society around us has changed, we've advanced, we've moved forward, technology has just gone forward by leaps and bounds, we might think that man has come a long way as well. But honestly, if we truly look at man and we boil everything down to its basics, we'll find that man today isn't really any different than man from centuries ago. We still have to deal with the things that our heart desires. We still have to learn to deal with the spirit of covetousness. No matter how much we have, we still tend to seek what is not ours. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we do all of that to try to gain what the world offers us and our heart seeks after. Yet we never stop to think about the justice that will come from those very same desires. The 10th commandment, the 10th domino, tells us not to covet our neighbor's house, wife, property, any of their belongings. Because of our greedy, sinful hearts, we still tend to run after those things that we cannot have. And all that does is lead us down the wide path away from what is right. We've spent the last 10 weeks looking at each of the individual commandments as written in the Old Testament. Along with that, we've looked at how they are still applicable to us today in the New Testament church. And I got to tell you, 10 weeks of reviewing the commandments is a lot of information to retain. That's a lot for us to absorb and to think about. How many times do we need to reread them or re-listen to the teaching so that we can remember it all? Well, I've got some good news for you this morning. Jesus, knowing our short-term memory issues, Jesus, knowing our incredibly short attention spans, made it very easy for us. And he broke it down to a few simple statements to help us remember all 10 of them. When asked about the commandments, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 through 31. "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. In a few simple words, Jesus did not replace the original commandments. He simply summarized them for us so that it was much easier for us to remember them. If, that's one of those big biblical words, if we can adhere to these two statements, then keeping those commandments will not be a problem for us. Those two statements will lead us down the correct path of adhering to all 10 of the commandments laid out for us. I'm going to close with two other verses of Scripture this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. To God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. In other words, to us. Verse 13, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. A major step on this quest of holiness that we have spent so many weeks talking about is learning to be obedient, specifically to the commandments. As if we can obey them, we will be doing exactly what our God has called us to do. And here's the key thing. We've talked about this a little bit in the weeks past. This does not mean obeying what we want them to mean. It means obeying them as they are written and as Scripture spells them out. It's being obedient to their absolute truth, which means it's obedience to the Word of God in its entirety. These commandments are just as applicable to us today as the day that smoke came down, covered the top of Mount Sinai, and God took his very finger and etched them into the stone for Moses to share with his people. Father God, I thank you for your word in its entirety. I thank you, Old Testament, New Testament, everything that's between those covers for us to read and learn from. God, I thank you for those commands that you have laid down for us to adhere to. Lord, when we were lost and dying, when we were ignorant, as Scripture says, we didn't care about the commands. But since you have drawn us to your side, since we have given our hearts to you, since we have become born again, Spirit-filled believers in Jesus Christ, these 10 commands are pivotal for us to adhere to day after day after day. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life that it truly is to each and every one of us. And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to remember every detail of the text you have given us so that we might live the lives you have given us exactly as you want us to live them, in obedience to you. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the beauty that you have created around us. I pray, Lord, now that you would help every single one of us as we go out from here to be the examples that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.